Alrighty, well, over the last so many weeks, we've been doing this series called The Fruit of the Spirit. And the picture I've been giving is this, is let's say you really like apples, but you're living on a farm and have no access to apples, but you've got some apple seeds, right? What do? You take those apple seeds and you plant them, you nurture those seeds, and eventually it produces an apple tree with the fruit called apples, right? And it's the same way in our spiritual walk with God. When you said, Jesus be my Savior and my Lord, the seed of the Spirit of Christ was planted in the soil of your heart. And as you nurture that seed, that relationship with Christ, by prayer, by fellowshipping with other believers, by reading the Word, as you nurture that seed of relationship with Christ, the natural result, the spiritual result should be the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in your life. And last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit called kindness. Just to briefly summarize, kindness is doing a good thing for someone, whether or not they deserve it. For instance, let's say somebody has deeply insulted you, has deeply offended you, and it's hard to forgive them. You feel in yourself, they don't deserve my forgiveness. But what does the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, say to do? It says to forgive that person. Kindness is also expressed in giving a gentle and a kind response to somebody who irritates you. How many here have been irritated by someone in the past? Well, kindness says, how do you respond? You respond with a gentle answer. Kindness is also expressed in just simply doing a kind deed for someone who is genuinely in need. If you find somebody on the side of the road that needs to have their flat tire changed, what do? Let's say it's an older person and they can't do it. You stop and you help them change the tire. That's kindness. And then kindness is actively working for the good of others when they are not grateful towards you, even though they may not say thank you to you. Actively working for their good, like Noah building the ark. People thought he was crazy. They were ungrateful, but he continued to build the ark to save his family and the lives of others, right? Now tonight I want to conclude this series on the fruit of the Spirit by talking with you on the fruit of the Spirit called joy. Now the word joy is pretty much self-explanatory. A little bit of a word study on it, and what does joy mean? Joy means gladness. It means great delight. It means happiness. It's a deep satisfaction inside of your heart. Let's turn to Galatians 5:22, where Paul writes about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Joy. Joy is gladness. It's a great delight. It's a deep satisfaction on the inside of you. Now, how many here would like a pay raise at some point? Pay raise is a good thing. Come on, let's be honest. We can all use a pay raise, right? Alright, let's say you go to work tomorrow morning and your employer tells you, I'm giving you a pay raise. You would be joyful on the inside, right? There would be great delight. Thank God I'm getting a pay raise. I've got some extra money now for the holidays. It would bring some joy to your heart, right? To get a pay raise. Alrighty, well, joy, satisfaction. Friend, tonight you may be in sorrow. You may be in grief. Maybe your heart is depressed and you're down on the inside. Maybe you've lost a loved one. You've lost something that was dear to you. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe you've lost a career. We serve the God of all comforts. Paul the Apostle writes in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4, that the God we serve is the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our sufferings and pain, right? He is a God who is able to turn your sorrow into joy. He is able to turn your mourning into laughter. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Jesus actually quotes this in Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Another version, the KJV King James says, the oil of joy instead of mourning. A garment of praise in the place of a spirit of despair and depression. God tonight wants to give you the oil of gladness instead of mourning. He wants to give you a garment of praise in place of your sorrow. You know, the fruit of the Spirit called joy is there for the taking. I've got this little apple here tonight. It's a bright, shiny, red apple, right? And it's there for the taking. Dan, would you come up? I've got an apple here. And I'm stretching out my arm to give this apple to Dan. Dan can choose to either receive it or not to receive it. What will Dan choose to do? Will he receive it or not receive it? He receives it. How did he receive it? He stretched out his hand and received it. Stretched out his arm and took it, right? It's the same way with the fruit of the Spirit called joy. You can stretch out your heart tonight. You can open up your heart tonight and receive the joy of the Lord. Now the question remains, how do you receive God's joy? How do you receive His gladness, this deep satisfaction inside of your inner man? Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let me give you a little bit of background here about Nehemiah. The people in South Israel, Judah, they were unfaithful to God. They were serving other gods. They had turned their backs on God. They had gone their own way. And God caused a nation called Babylon to take them captive. To take them captive. Basically, they were taken prisoners into another country called Babylon. And after 70 years of captivity, God released them to go back to Judah, to go back to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah had a heart to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he took a group of exiles from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And there was this scribe, this teacher of the law called Ezra, who basically read the law of God to the people. He stood on a high platform and proclaimed the law of God. And the people listened. And if you read Nehemiah chapter 8, you see that the people started to mourn because they did not understand the words of the law. And basically, they're told, don't mourn, be joyful. The law was explained to them, they understood it, and joy came into their lives. Now, I'd like to start reading from Nehemiah 8, verse 13. Ezra is still reading the law. Nehemiah 8, verse 13. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law. they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, and from myrtles, palm and shade trees, to make booths, as it is written. Verse 16. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. Verse 17. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Now, the key is found in verses 14, 15, and 17. It says that they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that they were to live in booths during this feast, this seven-day feast. So Ezra was proclaiming this from the law of God. So they heard it with their ears, right? You agree with that tonight? They heard it. And they did what? They built the booths, right? In verses 16 and 17. And it says they celebrated and their joy was very great. Now let me ask you this tonight. What caused this great joy? Think about it. Studying this today, I was like, wow, I never saw this before. What caused this great joy for the Israelites? This was it. Their obedience to God's law. His law said, build these booths for the seven-day feast. They built the booths. They heard it, and they acted upon it. They obeyed. They built the booths, and their joy was very great. What's the point? Friends, the point is this tonight. Obedience to God and obedience to God's word will bring you joy. It will bring you gladness. It will bring you deep satisfaction. You know, God's joy, like the apple, is there for the taking. Will you stretch out your heart tonight and receive His joy? How do you stretch out your heart to receive God's joy? You've got to stretch out your heart by faith and take it. You stretch it out by obeying what God is telling you to do. By His written word. Let me give you a personal testimony here. Back in 1992, I was a senior in high school. And I was really debating on the inside of which university I should attend. And I had gotten accepted to Rutgers University and Seton Hall and some other schools. But I had no peace on the inside. And back in January of 92, my dad was reading a book by Oral Roberts. And in the back of his books, he advertises the university. And so as he was reading that, God just came over him that day and said, Jonathan is to go to Oral Roberts University. So I came home from high school that day. He brought me to his office and he said, Jonathan, I've got something to tell you. It's tough to let you go. But God spoke to me and said that you are to go to ORU. And when he said that, it was like a burden lifted off my heart. It was like a joy entered me because I was about to obey what God spoke to me through my dad. So I called the university. You know, we take these SATs, college entrance exams. I called them up and I said, I'm 20 points short of receiving this academic scholarship. Could you give it to me anyway? They said, no. But if you retake the exam in April of 92, we'll give it to you. And I kid you not, no more, no less. How many points did I receive when I retook it? How many? I received those 20 points that I needed to get the scholarship. It was like God was confirming, this is the way I want you to go. And there was just joy on the inside knowing that I was doing what God had called me to do. Obedience to God will bring you joy on the inside. It will make the fruit of the Spirit called joy come to life in your heart. And it will give you strength also. And this is the point. Now, let me tell you, when I entered ORU, it was joyful. It was great. That's where I met Dan Amorine 15 years ago at Oral Roberts University. And times really got tough. I went through some really tough times and hardships 16 years ago. It was not always easy. There were points where I wanted to give up and just quit. But thank God I did not. What does the Word of God say in Nehemiah 8:10, the same chapter? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Because I knew that I was doing what God called me to do, I had a joy deep down on the inside, so that when the times got tough, His joy gave me strength to persevere and not quit. If He did it for me, friends, He can do it for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But how is this joy made manifest in your life? By obeying what God is telling you to do. The opposite is also true. Disobedience to God causes grief, sorrow, and depression. We see this in the life of Jonah the prophet. How many here know of Jonah the prophet? God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to that nation. And Jonah just thought to himself, you know what? I'm going to disobey. I'm going the opposite direction towards Tarshish. So over a series of events, Jonah finds himself in the belly of a whale. Why? Why is that? Why was he in the belly of a whale? Because he disobeyed God. And in the belly of the whale, this is what Jonah says. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. And from the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. Jonah was in distress. He was crying out in grief to God. I would say that Jonah was really depressed, wouldn't you? Why was Jonah depressed? Why was he grieving? Why was he sorrowful? Because he had disobeyed God. He had no joy in the belly of that whale. Now, I don't want to judge you tonight, and don't get me wrong, but could it be that your distress maybe your depression that you're dealing with, maybe the grief that you're going through and the sorrow, could it be that it is the result of some act of disobedience towards God? Could it be? Could it be that God has told you to do something, to say something, to go somewhere, and you've said, no, God, I'm doing my thing. And it's caused you grief. Maybe some sorrow. A lack of joy. Today is the day, friends, to turn it around. Remember, after Jonah prayed to God in Jonah 2, God commanded the fish, and it spit Jonah onto dry land. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, Jonah 3:1, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to Nineveh and preach repentance. We serve the God who is the God of a second chance. He may have spoken to you in the past about doing something. And maybe you disobeyed. And it caused you sorrow and grief. But today is the day of a second chance with God. Obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. You will be glad that you did. It will bring you great delight. It will bring you deep satisfaction. It will bring you joy on the inside. You know, maybe God is speaking to you about leaving this place, the Salvation Army, and moving somewhere else. Maybe He's telling you to get a certain education, technical, maybe nursing, maybe in the business field. Maybe God is telling you to go along a certain career path. Could it be that God tonight is speaking to you about letting go of bitterness and unforgiveness? Did you know that bitterness causes stress, anxiety, and a lack of joy? You're angry with someone, you're upset with somebody, you just cannot release them on the inside. But God may be telling you, based on His Word, release that person. Forgive them. Let go of the bitterness. That'll make you free on the inside. It will allow the fruit of the Spirit called joy to come to life on the inside of you if you let go. And maybe God is speaking to you tonight, or God has been speaking to you. Forgive that person. Reconcile that relationship. Reconcile with that person. It'll set you free and give you God's joy. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is our joy. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. About the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, we find that the angel came to Mary and said that she would give birth to the Son of God, to Jesus. And he speaks to her and she accepts it. And in verse 39 of Luke 1, it says this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, here's verse 44 is the clincher. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. I believe that at this time, now, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And at this time, when Mary came to visit her, I believe that she had already conceived Jesus miraculously by the Holy Spirit. So she entered the presence of Elizabeth and John the Baptist in the womb of his mama Elizabeth did a somersault, right? He leapt for joy. Where Jesus is, there is joy, right? All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. After Jesus was born, the angel came to the shepherds. Luke 2 verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Great tidings that will be for all the people. He was bringing them good news of great joy. Who was this great joy? This great joy was Jesus. Is Jesus on the inside of you? If Jesus is on the inside of you, guess what's on the inside of you as well? The fruit of the Spirit called joy is there for the taking. All you've got to do is stretch out your heart and receive it. Jesus tells us in John 15 how to receive it. Let's turn to John 15. John chapter 15, we're about to close here. And this is what he says. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we're in Christ. And he's in us. If we abide in him, if we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. I think that part of the fruit that Jesus was talking about was the fruit of the Spirit. Now look at verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." He's basically saying, I love you. I want you to show me that you love me. Is what Jesus is saying. Verse 10. "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." So what he's saying is this. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. The way that you show me that you love me is by obeying my commandments. Verse 11. Key verse. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends." So he's saying, for the way that you show me that you love me is by obeying my command to love others. And basically he's saying in verse 11, I'm encouraging you to obey my command to love others so that my joy might be in you and that my joy in you may be complete. We show Jesus that we love him by obeying his commandment to love other people, to obey his command of laying down our lives for somebody else who's in greater need than us. And as we do that, his joy enters our life. You know, Hebrews 12, for instance, verses 1 and 2. You might want to turn there for just a moment. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Actually, let's turn to verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Jesus endure the cross, scorning its shame? For the joy set before him. It brought Jesus joy to lay his life down for you and for me. And he said it in John 15:11. I am telling you this about this command to love others so that my joy may be in you. Friend, tonight you may be grieving the loss of something dear. Maybe the loss of a loved one. See, as you step out of yourself, you've got to shift the focus off yourself. You've got to stop with perhaps the pity party. Shift the focus off yourself and shift it onto somebody who's in greater need than you. And as you shift your focus off yourself and onto others, guess what? God's joy will enter your life. God's joy will supernaturally enter your inner man, your spirit. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. And so when it gets tough, you'll have strength to persevere because his joy is on the inside. Does that make sense? All right. Last year, I was going through a time of depression. Time of depression. And Dan knows about this for about a month and a half. It was really, really a low point in my life. And I won't go into details about it. But it was like, man, I was just so focused on myself. And I just had to shift the focus off myself onto somebody else who is in greater need than me. And I sensed the Spirit of God telling me to reach out to two families who were in great need. And he told me to take quite a big step of faith. It was quite a stretch for me. I stepped out of myself. I shifted the focus off myself. I did what Jesus said to do in John 15. I loved somebody else. I laid my life down, in a sense, for somebody who was in greater need than me. And let me tell you something. After I ministered to those families, it was like I was on a spiritual high for the rest of the year, October, November, and December of 06. It was like I was just soaring with God, a spiritual high. I was talking to a friend this past year. I was like, man, I stepped out and helped these families. And I was like, man, it was like I was on a spiritual high. The joy of the Lord was in my heart. There was a deep satisfaction on the inside that nothing could put there except Jesus Christ, as I reached out beyond myself. So if you're mourning tonight, if you're in sorrow tonight, I encourage you, shift the focus. Just take a step out of yourself. Minister to somebody else in greater need. And let me tell you, a deep satisfaction, gladness, great delight, the fruit of the Spirit called joy will be manifest in your heart, in your spirit. God loves you so very much. And friend, the key to God's joy is obedience to what God is telling you to do. What is God telling you to do tonight? Obey what he tells you to do. You will have great satisfaction, gladness, and delight on the inside. And the opposite is true, that if you disobey, you may experience some very tough times. Some grief, some unneeded sorrow, and unnecessary depression. But God is the God who sets us free. He is the God of liberation. He is the God of joy. Obey his word. Obey what he's telling you to do. And number two, do what Jesus said to do in John 15. Love others. Lay down your life. And he said, I told you this so that my joy may be in you. God loves you so very much. He wants the fruit of the Spirit called joy to be manifest in your life. And it all starts with obedience. Amen.